But first, let me remind you of the passage that this series is based on from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Shall we pray again? Father God, we want to thank you for Math, Becky and their children, and how they each devote themselves to you and your local church here in Thornhill. We pray for Math now as he brings us your message. And we pray for ourselves that we would be challenged and encouraged by what we hear, and that we, that you would continue to transform our lives as your people. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, don't worry about Andy. I did think about calling you Andina for the next few months just to get my own back, but that's fine. Great. I want to start with a question. By the way, this isn't my bank statement, but what's the first direct debit that goes out of your bank account when you get paid? So have a think now. What is the first direct debit that goes out of your bank account when you get paid? Because I get paid around the 28th of each month, and then on the 1st and the 2nd, it's almost like a magic trick happens. Like, it's like a disappearance. The money comes in, and then it disappears. And then about 10 to 12 direct debits go out on the 1st and 2nd of the month. And it's like a vanishing act, isn't it? And whether it's like a mortgage or rent or car insurance, council tax, gas, electricity, all these things go out. But which one is your first? What one goes out first? And I did something about 10 years ago, and I want to encourage all of us, whether you're part of this church or whether you're part of a different church, anyone who loves Jesus, I would encourage them to do something which I found really helpful about 10 years ago. And you can either do it during today, or you could do it after the service, or whether you can do it online, or ring up, or do it through letter. But I would encourage all of us who love Jesus to make our first giving, our first direct debit, when the money comes, to give it back to God. My encouragement would be, when the money comes in, know that your first one goes back to God, which is often going back to his church. It's his church, he built his church, and that's where you begin. We can't just kind of hand some money up and just throw it into the air and like kind of watch it go up to heaven. Like, it's giving back to God, giving back to his church. And you might be thinking, oh, that's great for you to say. You're the pastor. Like, are you kind of looking for a pay rise? Or, but I would say, like, this it's harder for me to speak on something like this in my own church if I was speaking somewhere else. Like, if I was speaking in a different church, I'd be possibly more stronger or more clear on it. So I'm aware, and I'm extremely grateful that I get to do what I get to do because people here faithfully give, and I'm totally aware of that. We get to live and serve and be here because people gave and people continue to give, and so I'm fully aware of that. So I promise you, I'm not looking for a pay rise. And if I do start driving to church in a Porsche, then you know you could have a word. But and also, just to, as a claimer, I've been here for nearly 3 years now, and I don't know who gives and who doesn't give. There may be a time where we need to look at that, but there hasn't been that time right now. So if you think, oh, he's looking at me, or he knows, I don't. So if I'm looking at you, I promise I don't. So I don't know who gives, I don't know who doesn't give. But my encouragement, if for many reasons in regards to trusting God, in regards to being free from the love of money, in regards to being grateful, would be to give back to God. We know, don't we? Our direct debits come in, the mortgage, the rent, all these things come in. And then often it's almost like what we've got left. And I don't know about you, but I used to be a spare change giver. We haven't done it because of COVID, but I was brought up in church and we'd have these bags come round and I would be, literally, it'd be my spare change. And I'd shake my pocket first to kind of sound like I've got a lot of money, but it'd be about 37p and I'd kind of put it in the bag. So I used to do that. Sometimes as well, I'm okay to own up to this, maybe you, sometimes I was even a false giver, like genuinely, I'd go like that, nothing, put my hand in the bag, and do it. Anyone else want to own up to that? Anyone else done that? Come on, I'm not the only one, truly. All right, you all. So I'm going to check on that after. I can see Pauline, you're laughing, you've done it. But honestly, like when I did give, it was almost like, oh, Matthew, you've been a good boy today. Like you've done well, I almost wanted to show people, do you mean, like, oh, get the cash out, and oh yeah, I'm giving today, and almost like this pride element of giving, and also some people are savers, some people are spenders, aren't they? And I am a saver. I hate wasting money, and the default of that is being extremely stingy and not generous. My wife is generous. She's quite good at spending money. I'm good at saving money. But my default then is to be stingy and not generous. And so I kind of thought, almost like, oh, I'm too young to give. Like, God doesn't need my money. Like, I'm too young to give. But also, like, my heart, I was stingy. I was quite happy for people to give and to bless me, but I was stingy and I didn't want to give. But then I became a Christian and started reading my Bible, and not just like New Testament or Old Testament, but reading throughout. And I found this, I found that the people of God have always given back to God from what God has given them. So the people of God throughout history, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, has always given back to God something from what God has given them. And that underline, that second part, from what God has given them, is key, isn't it? Because if you believe God has given you everything, then everything's a gift, isn't it? If you don't think, oh, God has given me, this is just my hard work, this is my earnings, then you're not going to give him anything because you think you've done it by yourself. But if you have this idea of everything I own, all my money, all my possessions, everything I own, everything that is part of my household that's come in my name, is from God, is given by God. I'm almost lending it or borrowing it for this time. And so even though he doesn't need it, I want to give back to him. And this is what happens throughout the Bible. And James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from God. And money can be a gift, can't it? Like, money can be a real gift. Like, that's why we give her birthdays, or to if you want to invest in something, or if you want to bless someone, we give money as a gift to me. Money can be a real gift. But also, money can be a curse, which I'll explain a bit later. Money can be a gift, but it also can be a curse. And what I found with God is, I believe God has given me all the money I own, all the money I possess. And what he's doing now is, he's just looking what I do with it. That's it. He's just like, he's given it to me, so all of his wealth, he's given me a little bit of it, and he's almost like, all right, Math, what are you going to do with it then? Like, what are you going to do with it? Like, this is all mine, and what I've given you now, actually, it's not yours, it's mine, by the way. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this money that I've given you? Because just as a disclaimer, if you didn't know it, like, God doesn't need our money. Just so we're aware of that, like, God doesn't need our money. Like, he's okay. He hasn't got a 25-year mortgage, you know what I mean? He's not looking at Jonathan Bourne and thinking, I need to borrow a tenner. Like, God is okay. Like, he doesn't need our money. Think of the kings and queens who have been on the paper of money, the Caesars that have gone and passed and present, and he's seen throughout them all, and he doesn't need any of it. He doesn't need any of our money, yet it can please him and honour him when we handle our money well, when we can give our money to others, to him, for his church, for his family, and for his glory. So he doesn't need our money. Like, God doesn't need our money, but he's looking at what we do with it. He's looking at what the money that he has given you, he's thinking, what are you going to do with it? Okay, so what are you going to do with it? And throughout Scripture, so in Genesis 4, one of the first stories we hear of in our Bible is two brothers, Cain and Abel. And Abel, who worked with animals, gave God a portion of his best animal, not just like a wounded, like, dying one, like his best animal. He killed it and gave a portion. And this pleased God because it was given out of faith. It was given out of his best. And it was also a foretaste of Jesus giving his blood for us. So this was a picture of us. So he didn't need that, but it pleased God through faith. Abraham, another Genesis character. Check this out. He waited 100 years to become a father. 100 years. To have the gift of becoming a father and have the gift of a son. So he waited 100 years for this gift of a child. And then God tested Abram and said, would you give the gift back to me? Like, would you give it back? If I asked you, like, would you give this gift back? And Abraham was willing to do this. And his faith and obedience pleased God. Like, it pleased him. And again, this was a picture, a story of God later giving his son for us, giving his son as a lamb, as a sacrifice for us. And then God made a people from Abraham, and the population grew, and the people owned more, and some people owned more and became a lot more richer on one hand. And then on the other hand, as a large people group, some people got poorer. And also, whether they're rich or poor, sin affected their relationship with each other and their relationship with God. As they sinned, as they disobeyed God, as they hurt one another, as their hearts, their thoughts, their actions, like, affected one another and affected their relationship with God, people then gave to God for different reasons. So there were different reasons. One commentator writes this. It says, tithing is an Old Testament concept. The tithe was a requirement of the law in which the Israelites were to give 10% of the crops they grew and the livestock they raised to the tabernacle, to the temple. So this was a requirement of the law, and the tithe, one-tenth, is 10% of the crops. So this was the crops, their produce, their workload, their food. In fact, the Old Testament required multiple tithes, which for some of you think, oh no, 10% was hard enough. Now you're going to get worse. In the fact, the Old Testament law required multiple tithes, one for the Levites. So the Levites were like this one tribe, which were almost like full-time missionaries or full-time people who worked for the church in that sense. But they worked for the tabernacle and on sacrifices, and so they relied on other people giving to them. One for the use of the temple and the feasts, and one for the poor of the land, which would have pushed the total to around 23, or some say 33%. So not just 10%, now this is a quarter or a third. Some of you are feeling a bit more uncomfortable in your seats right now. And some understand the Old Testament tithe as a method of taxation to provide for the needs of the priests and the Levites in this sacrificial system. So this was a sacrificial system that people gave for different reasons. Some for their produce, some of their animals, some to out of their monetary wealth as well. So the Old Testament people gave money, possessions, livestock for different reasons and different offerings. So why did Old Testament people give? Sometimes they gave to say thanks because they were grateful. Like they owned all this livestock or this produce, and they give 10% of this because they believe that God gave them everything. Like if you go out for a nice meal and you enjoy it, what do? You give a tip, don't you? You say, I'm grateful for this. This was delicious. And so this was to say thanks. So they gave to say thanks, to be grateful, to have gratitude. The other reason they gave was to look after others. They talked there about the poor. So they gave to look after others. So this system that God was thinking about was not just to like kind of or burn it all in the temple. It was to look after others, look after the poor, look after the needy. If someone had a lot, they used that then to spread and to share with others. So other people had that. They used it to spread the message. The Levites, like I said, these people were effectively looked after by other people giving. Similar to myself, if you all stopped giving financially, like, my job would be out. It would be as simple as that. And so the Levites, they were employed, if you want to say that, or they lived because the other people gave. Because they gave their wealth, they gave their food, they gave their livestock, they gave their money, and it also supported them, and it helped spread the message. As these people read the law and spoke of the law, it helped spread the message and encourage the message. And also, finally, they gave because they needed to pay for sin. Like, they needed to pay for their sin when they had wronged, or when they had done wrongdoing, or when they needed to sacrifice, or have a dove sacrifice, or a lamb sacrifice. They needed to pay for their sins. So they needed to give something of their wealth to pay, to be made right with God. And people did this for hundreds and a few thousands of years in giving back to God. But then Jesus came. And we love Jesus, don't we? And we love when Jesus changes as well. And we kind of think, oh, this is great, this is going to change. But when Jesus came, but even when at his birth, like with the Bible reading we looked at there, even at his birth, he was a baby, and yet God stirred the hearts of wealthy wise men who weren't even Jews to come and to give him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like, what's a baby going to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? The baby can't do anything. Like, if you're going to give, it would be quite nice if someone gave me gold for my Theo, but like, yeah. But he's almost like nappies, a dummy, that's kind of stuff. Like, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like, they gave this. And it's another example, again, of God doesn't need our gifts, but it can be pleasing to him. Like, we can please him, we can honor him when we give from what we've got and give to God. And then when Jesus starts his ministry, aged around 30, he goes to see these fishermen guys, and they've had a rough day. They haven't caught anything. And then he says, oh, cast your nets on the other side. And they're thinking, like, who's this, like, wise guy, this rabbi telling me, this is my life, I know what to do. And they're like, all right, then, we better do it just to show face. And they catch the most fish they've ever caught. Like, this is jackpot. Do you know what I mean? This is like national lottery. Like, this is going to feed them. Like, they could maybe retire early. They've got lots of money here. And then what does Jesus say to them when they've caught all this? And they've got all this money, all this wealth. It's literally there. And he says, all right then, now leave that and come and follow me. That's what he says. Like, they've literally got stashes of money here. that they've just caught, and he says, all right then, you've got that, but now leave it and come and follow me. Like, leave that and follow me. And the amazing thing is they did. Like these guys did. They left that and then followed Jesus. And then Jesus says some crazy things about money. Some say it's the subject he most talked about. Money is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible, and over half of Jesus' parables talks about money. Because many people back then, and even today, don't we, Jesus' disciples, we think blessed means someone who's rich. So if someone's rich, who's got a nice car or got a nice house, we think, oh, they're blessed. Like, they are blessed by God, they are blessed. And Jesus' disciples thought this blessed means like rich, means wealth. But then Jesus turned it on the head in Matthew 6, when in the Beatitudes he says, actually, blessed is the poor. Or blessed is the brokenhearted. Or blessed is the pure in heart. And so they're changing this idea of what blessed means. So when a rich young ruler comes to Jesus, the disciples think, like, this guy is blessed. He's young, he's handsome, he's got loads of money. Like, this guy is blessed by God. He's a good guy. Probably hasn't got much sin going on. He's had a good upbringing. Like, this guy is blessed. And Jesus and him had a conversation. And then Jesus ends with saying, like, with the video we start off, isn't it? If you want eternal life, like, give all that money. So God has given you all this money. What I want you to do is give all that money to the poor and come and follow me. And then you can have eternal life. And the guy says, no, like, that's too much. I got too much money. I got too much wealth. And so following you is not worth this. And he didn't. And then Jesus, as he's walking away, Jesus is sad and he tells his disciples, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. He's basically saying, money will take a lot of people to hell. Like, that's what he's saying. He's saying money is going to take a lot of people to hell. He's basically saying most rich people will go to hell. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Like, camels can't go through eyes of needles. They can't. So it's easier for that to happen than for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. So money, like I said at the start, it can be a blessing, but it can be a curse, can't it? Like, if money is the reason that stops people going to heaven to enter the kingdom of God and takes people to hell, like, that's a curse, isn't it? If money is one of the major factors for that. And so money can be the opposite of a blessing. And so we need to be really careful of that. But then Jesus dies and rises again. And that's why we sing today, because he is Lord, he is God, he's on his throne. And he completes the law. And people now don't have to pay for their sin anymore. Like, he has completed it. The sacrificial system is over. And, like, it's brilliant, isn't it? That's awesome news. And the New Testament believers are thinking, brilliant. Like, now I'm 10 to 33% richer. Like, this is great. Like, I'm not in the sacrificial system anymore. Like, this is brilliant news. Like, I love Jesus even more for that. But go back to what Andy read in Acts 2. These people had their sins forgiven. They were free from the law. They don't have to tithe 10% anymore, or 23%, or 33%. But then what do they do instead? Like, they give everything. Like, instead of like the 10 or 33%, which I would find that hard, personally, because I'm stingy. Like, I find that hard. But instead of that, they've been free, they've been forgiven, the sacrificial system is over. And yet it says, like, they sold possessions and property to give to everyone so that everyone had it, so they were equal, so they had unity, so they were together. And so they've swapped that for everything. And so they've increased it. And someone should say to them, look, guys, you're just not good at maths. You need to work this out. Like, it's a decrease. But now they've increased it, and they've given everything. So why do they give everything? Why do New Testament people give? Like, they give to be say thanks, don't they? Like, that's why we give, to say thanks. Like, God, you've given me everything. Everything I own is from you. I'm just holding on to this. I'm just holding on to this. And so, if I can give you something that will please you, that will honor you, like, I want to just say thanks. I want to give to say thanks. Like, if I give my boys a chocolate bar, right, and I say, oh, can I have some? A lot of times they don't even give me a bit. And I'm like, I just paid for your chocolate bar, Jimmy. Like, that's my chocolate bar. I could take it all if I want, but I'm giving it to you. And you know, but sometimes then when I ask and they give it to me, I'm like really grateful. But should I tell you what's even better? When I give them a chocolate bar, and then they just say, Dad, you want some? Do you know what I mean? Like that, for me, I'm like, I love chocolate and I love my boys. But I'm like, they don't need to do that. Like, this is a gift to them. But like, you're saying, oh, do you want some? Because this is good. Like, and I want you to share. And I know you've given this to me. So I want to say thanks. And this is, it's just saying thanks, isn't it? Like, everything he's given us. So we were saying thanks. Another reason why they give is to look after others. The Acts church, there was people there who had possessions, who had property. There were people there who were probably homeless as well. And all of a sudden, they give everything to look after one another. So the poor are looked after. So there's unity. So there's equality among each other. And they love one another. And they give to those in need. If they needed a blanket, if they needed food, if they needed a place to stay, they give to one another. These people brought massive unity together. They give then to spread the message, to help those who do it. This then started the apostles and other people who are tent makers. And so if they could give these guys some money to help spread the gospel, then that's what they did. A worker is due his wage. And so they gave to start this new gospel ministry. So they gave financially to spread the gospel, to help those travel, especially as Paul traveled, like to pay for his travel to send the good news. And the reason they give and the reason we give is because Jesus has paid for my sin, isn't it? Jesus has paid for our sin. So that's why we give. It's because Jesus has paid for our sin. I don't know about you, but sometimes like they say, become a Christian, like, it's free. And it is, because Jesus has paid for it, hasn't he? Jesus has paid a massive cost to make it free, my salvation free. But then following Jesus costs us everything, doesn't it? Following Jesus, like, costs us everything. Like, how much do I want to follow him? How much do I want to give to him? How much do I want him to be Lord of my life? So giving today at Thornhill Church, it's not an Old Testament regulation. It's a New Testament invitation. Like, this isn't an Old Testament regulation. Like, this is a New Testament invitation. And so the question is, do you want to use your money God has given you to say thanks, to look after others, to spread the gospel? Because Jesus paid for your sin. Like, do you want your money to extend the kingdom of God? Do you want that? Because trust me, this is the kingdom of God, okay? But trust me, we're all paying into other kingdoms. We're all extending other kingdoms. There's people here today who are extending the Sky Sports kingdom. There's people here today who are extending the pets at home, animal insurance kingdom. There's people here who are extending the gym membership kingdom. We're all extending kingdoms with our money. We all are. But are we extending the kingdom of God? Because that's the only one that's going to last forever. That's the only one that's going to be in eternity. All the others will fade away. We're all extending kingdoms. We're all giving to things that we love. And I do as well. And like that's part of life. But are we extending the kingdom of God with our money? And so I just want to say thank you for everyone who has faithfully given, everyone who continues to faithfully give to extend the kingdom of God. Like I said, I'm here because people give. I'm employed because people give. And so I'm grateful for that. And I want to thank you guys for that. And not to kind of blow my own trumpet as well, but we give everything we had as well to love you, to serve you, to come here and to love you guys and love this community. So I'm not like kind of taking with one hand and not giving. Like we gave everything as well to love you guys. So I'm grateful, but I want to say like we've done it for you as well. And this church has a great track record of giving to the kingdom of God. Like I know that since the early 80s, Thornhill Church as a people have given money to God, one another, as a grateful people, to give to the poor, those in need, and to extend the gospel. I know people here have given to hire schools, pubs, tents for years, to pay for mission trip and the community. I know people have given to send and support missionaries in other countries. We've got a few here, actually. Put your hands up if you've been a missionary or served as a missionary, whether it's a short term or a long term, and people from Thornhill Church have supported you. Put your hands up here. There's a few here. Yeah? Guys, those guys have gone to other parts of the country, but they would say they wouldn't be able to do that if you didn't give. Like, they wouldn't be able to do that if you didn't give. It just wouldn't be possible. So you are a part of that. I know people, this building is 25 years old in October. People, I obviously wasn't here then. I was alive though. But people would have given significant amounts of money to make that happen. Significant amounts of money. Put your hands up if you were here before the building was made. Is there many here? Put your hands up. Can I put your hands up behind us? So, and everyone have a look. Put your hands up. Can we just clap and honour those people for making that happen? Because we part of the reason we are here today is because they gave. They gave to make this happen. And this place has served the community for 25 years. Think of the hundreds, thousands of people who've come into this building and had conversations, heard, seen something of Jesus because people gave with that. I know people who have given to employ people to share the gospel, to tots, to kids, to youth, to schools, yourselves. I know people who have given to share Jesus with your kids, to pay for trips and weekends away. And even, like, you're sitting right now on chairs. Does anyone know how much one of these chairs costs? I actually looked this week. How much do you reckon? Theodore, how much do you reckon? £15? You've been shopping B&M too much. What, one of these chairs, right? If you bought them today, they're £100 a chair, right? But let me tell you, right? Someone has paid for your chair. Did you pay for that chair? You might be new. Someone has paid for your chair for you to be here today. Someone has paid for your chair sacrificially for you to be here today, to have a seat and to say, like, you are welcome here. Someone has done that for you. They've paid for your chair to be here today. And do you know why people have given for the last 40 years and why people continue to give today? It's all for Jesus, isn't it? It's all because of Jesus. It's all for Jesus. It's because we are grateful. It's to support those poor others, and it's to extend the gospel and help pay for those who do it. It's because Jesus has paid for our sins, isn't it? Jesus has paid for our sins, and so that's why we give. And so the question is, like, do you just want to join in with that? Like, do you want to join in with that? Do you want to use your money to extend the kingdom of God? Like, do you want to do that? And Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give that what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And before the band come up now, and before we worship this risen Jesus, let me just give you, these are just some top 10 tips. And again, these are just things that I found helpful in my life, in my heart, that maybe is helpful for you. So give to God as your first direct debit. I had to do that, because if I didn't, I wouldn't give him anything, or I'd give him my spare change. So for me, it's the first one. It's the first one, and it's saying, I trust you, God. I don't want to love money, and so I want to be free from the love of money, and I want to give back to you because I'm grateful. So everything you get, so I want to give to you. And I've got four boys. My wife doesn't work. Like, my bank manager, he sees that, he says, like, this doesn't make sense, mate. But I want to trust God. I want to trust God. I want to be grateful for God. I want to be free from the love of money. And I want to say, God, I'm grateful for everything I've got. So I would encourage you to do that. Like, gifted, that's just one thing we do. It's almost like give to Caesar what Caesar owns. But if Caesar wants to give us 25%, I'm going to take 25%. So if you want to do gifted as well, then again, that can help extend the kingdom through the charity as well. Again, some people are like, oh, do I give amount or percentage? My encouragement would be to be like percentage giving. Like, our amounts can change, our circumstance can change. And so I would encourage people to give percentage. And even though it's an Old Testament principle, like, you can see throughout Scripture and in the New Testament, it wasn't like obligatory or bound by law. But often people would give a tithe or a tenth, a percentage of that amount. Number four, actually, this is more like almost, if you're talking about CAP, or something that they do, almost like life learning in that sense. They say, give 10% away, live off 80%, and then save 10%. And so give 10%, live off 80%, and then save 10%. Like, we did that for lots of years, and that really helped us. We're at a stage right now, being honest, we can't save 10%. And so the temptation is, actually, we won't give 10%, we'll save 10%. But we want to still give to God, and we're forgetting about the saving right now. Like, we're trusting God for that. But that's helpful. If you need help, again, this isn't just trying to take money off you. Like, some of us have difficult situation. Some of us need help. That's one reason why, as a church, we're supporting CAP, and we've brought CAP in to help. But also, if you need help, we can run money courses or speak to you individually, then speak to us. Again, like, we were in church about tithes and offerings. My encouragement would be to tithe, give to the church, and then your offerings to be to like a parachurch or another charity. Because tithing, when you give faithfully, like the Old Testament, their crops came at different times. We get paid monthly. And so I think tithing, giving monthly, shows actually this is your local church. Like, yeah, we are part of the universal church, and we are part of the kingdom. I'm not going to deny that. But God created local churches. Like, that's part of his plan. And so my encouragement would be to show the local church. I've said to other people, like, your bank manager should know what church you're part of. That's what kind of I say what to people. And then your offerings, you can give what we give to other people, we give to other charities out there. For some of us, we've got like non-Christian spouses. And like, that can be difficult, can't it? Like, money is something that people find whether you're both Christians, you can have lots of money difficulties, or money can be something that can really stir up emotions and arguments. And so if you've got a non-Christian spouse and they're like, oh, why are you giving to the church? Why do you want it? Like, my encouragement would be to speak to them. And what me and Becky do is, like, we kind of, all our money goes into one pot, but we kind of have different things we spend money on. So I like cooked breakfast. So I kind of got a budget on cooked breakfast. She likes, I'll tell you now, but don't tell, I don't know. She likes putting, like, weird facial masks on her face and, like, coming down looking like a bank robber. I don't get it, right? I don't get it, but she likes it. It helps her calm. So, like, it's just having that conversation. I don't understand that, but she likes that. And so I would encourage you to speak. Your spouse might not understand it, but you might say, oh, look, this is the money you spend on this. This is the money I want to spend and give to God, and just have that conversation. For some of us, we might say, look, I just can't give. Look, I'm in a situation I can't give. And I would just encourage you, like, go through your kingdoms. Like, go through your money and look at what you give. I did a money course once with a guy, and we went, and he's like, ah, oh, look, I love Jesus. I love this church. It's brilliant. I just can't give. And we went through his his bank statements, and I said something to him, and I don't think he liked me for it. I said, oh, I found out why you can't give. He's like, why? I said, oh, it's because you love animals more than you love Jesus. Like, you love animals more than you love your the church. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, oh, you're giving like 60 quid a month to like all these animal charities. Like, and all these things. Like, and you say you love Jesus and the church. Well, it doesn't look like it to me. Like, you're loving all this stuff. That's the kingdom you're investing in. We didn't talk much after that. No, we did. He's fine. But, like, that's, look at your kingdoms, guys. Look at your bank statements. What are you giving in? If you're giving £80 a month to Sky Sports, and that's what you want to do, like, that's what you want to do. But then don't give God, like, your spare change. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to spend £50 on a mobile phone contract, like, that's up to you. But, like, if you want to give God a fiver, then, like, he sees that. Like, what kingdoms are we giving into? Like, what kingdoms are we giving into? And appreciate, like, there's different seasons. Sometimes people can give more. If we needed a new roof all of a sudden now, and we said, guys, we need to raise 50 grand, and the council aren't going to give us, like, can we raise that? There might be a season where we're like, actually, guys, we're going to give. Which people did 25 years ago. No, we're going to give to that. There's sometimes where we have difficulty. Like, when we can't give, or we're giving a bit less. I can remember in June, we're having someone come from Compassion Child, Compassion Sponsor Child. And I can remember we were sponsoring this child, this Filipino kid called Kevin. And you did about 10 kids there. I didn't know who to pick. I just saw that all of them had Spanish names. One of them called Kevin, so I'll just go with Kevin. And then we were sponsoring him, and our financial situation changed. And we kind of had to stop sponsoring him just because we couldn't afford to. And I had a photo in my wallet of Kevin. And then when we stopped, I saw him, and then I felt guilty. So I took the photo out. But then as I took it out, his face was etched on my wallet. So it was almost like, I still see you. sometimes we're in situations where we can't give, or things we can give more, or things change, and God understands that. And like, let's realize, like, we're under grace, we're not under law. Like, this isn't an Old Testament regulation. This is a New Testament invitation. Like, do we want our money to extend the kingdom of God? I do. Don't we want our money to extend the kingdom of God? Like, don't we want to be free from the love of money? Do I need to be more generous? Yeah, I do. Like, I do. Don't we want our money to send more missionaries around the world? Or employ more people to share the gospel in this community? Or to give to those who in need? I do. I want that. Imagine we get to heaven and people there who we've never met. And they were like, oh, in some way I'm here because of you, because you gave. And that worked out this way. And then there was a link here, and that bought a Bible, and I read that Bible, and I came to know Jesus. So that's what we want to give to, don't we? I'll take that over Sky Sports, or Pets at Home, or T-Mobile. I'll take that to extend his kingdom. And so today, we've been talking about money. There's the financial reports on the way out. And and if you want to give in the term lead sheet, it explains there. But we, even with the monthly missions, we're raising these things because we want to give. Because we want to give. Because we don't want to love money. We don't want to hold money. We don't want money to take anyone to hell, do we? We want to give it to Jesus. And finally, the band are going to come up now to sing a final song. But this slide says this. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The band are going to come up now. Let me just pray. Jesus, we just want to thank you that you've given everything up to us. You gave it all up to us. You sacrificed everything for us. You paid everything for us. You emptied your bank account for us. Lord, you bet your mortgage on us, Lord. You chucked all in your home insurance for us. And you did it for us, Lord. And we thank you for the people of the scriptures who have continually given to you, who've continually given in faith, in obedience, or even in poverty, Lord. Thank you for these fishermen, Lord, who were loaded when they met you and that they give it all up for you. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord Jesus, over us as a church, over us as individuals. Lord, help us be aware of the dangers of money, Lord. Help us be aware of how much it can corrupt and make our hearts hard, how it can deceive us, Lord. Lord, will you help us have open hands with our money, Lord? Help us, Lord, when you see something of your life and your heart for money. Lord Jesus, help us extend your kingdom with our money, Lord. Help us be aware of the different kingdoms we give to. Help us prioritize you and give to you and honor you. Lord, help us not love money. Help us be generous, Lord. And help us not give out of regulation or just because someone has said it in church. Lord, help us give out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, out of devotion to you. Lord Jesus, as a church and as individuals, Lord, will you be pleased with how we handle money, Lord? With how we give money, with how we spend money. Please, Lord, if there's things in our life, Lord, convict us, Lord. If there's people here, Lord, who need help, if there's people here in debt, Lord. Lord, will you help them, or will they reach out to Cap or ourselves, Lord? If we need to trust you, Lord. We're holding on because we need to work it out ourselves. Help us trust you, Lord. We do want to extend the kingdom of Thornhill Church, Lord. That's not what we're about, Lord. We want to extend your kingdom. We want to extend the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us love you with our money, not love our money, Lord. In In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.